help you discover your many layers. You peel, you cry, you wake up, refresh eyes. Question life, question humanity, question society, but most of all, question yourself.
I am from Turkey, and I've been in the politics since when I was 16 years old. And since then, I've been fighting, and I've been on the street and fighting. And I've been here in England last 33 years. And last 20 years, I involved with the council housing campaign, which is gentrification or social cleansing.
Can you share a bit of your experiences so in Turkey, and then how did you move to the UK?
In Turkey, I became very aware of injustice early age due to my parents, because they were very liberal social democrats. And then what's happening in Turkey at that time, they were against it. So I grew up with those idea, you know, the justice has to be done, and you know, we have to treat everybody equal. So very early age, I involved with the political groups, and I've done lots of different things within the groups, going to Kurdistan, coming back, and several times I've been arrested. And the point that came to that, I couldn't stay any longer in Turkey, because either they're gonna kill me or I end up in prison.
In Turkey, things are quite different, very harsh. And many people has been disappeared. And, you know, last 20 years, 30 years, families still trying to find their bodies. I mean, they knew has been killed. So in that atmosphere, I wasn't even able to walk on the street. When the police sees me, they stop the car and saying that we're gonna get you one day. So I was trapped. I decided, you know, it is enough, because I can't do much. I had to leave the country. So I came to England. And around 99, and I started campaign where I live. I live in a big council housing estate, biggest council estate in Eastern Europe. In 99, we start getting some kind of letters from the council saying that we're gonna knock down your house and make a nice building for you. You know, that kind of blah, blah. And I didn't believe, and I went, you know, the few meetings, and I realized that is not for us. It is privatization. So I approached somebody to saying that we should start campaign. And we take off our campaign. In 2001, we had a ballot. We won the ballot to saying that the council housing has to stay with council with refurbishment. But later on, they came back with the same things. And it's, you know, it shows people what kind of democracy we live in. Is it democracy for us or for whom? So when they use democracy as a, you know, the kind of democracy, yes, if it's democracy, so why they haven't, you know, to take into account that, you know, we had a ballot and we won the ballot. So, you know, in that sense, it doesn't work. But I am heavily involved with other things, you know, refugees and anti-fascist capitalist bloc, you know, that kind of things. I am always going, but my main area as a campaigner, I don't want to use activists, but in the council housing.
So what does it mean to be an activist?
That is the yes. I mean, I don't want to call as an activist because, you know, there are different definition of the activism, how you perceive activism. I don't want to say I am activist, but for me, is mainly getting with the local connection where you live and getting to know your area, people, your local shop, your local traders, and, you know, the kind of creating the place that, you know, you feel safe, you feel you are not outsider, you kind of belong to that community. That is kind of, you know, my understanding activism, because life is a politics. So when the life is politics, that means every step we take is activism. You know, when you are on the bus, if you see something is not right, you have to raise your voice to saying that, no, you can't do that. Or on the street, you know, this is not just something on one issue. You just go march, shout, or, you know, to do things and then come your home. It is a lifestyle, how you live your life and how you approach your neighbor, the people, the community, and you know, those relationship, it's kind of you create. And if we say in that sense of the activism, yes, I love in the kind of activism because all my neighbor knows me. I am always, my door is always open. And if anybody needs anything, they knew they can knock my door, ask anything. And these are the kind of things you create around you, make you to feel safe, make you to feel belong to. That's my understanding, because otherwise, you know, some activists or activism, the people look at it, you know, how many people they will draw with their party, or how many paper they can sell the people who are sympathizing them, which is I totally against it, because you use people's sympathy to gain something. You don't need, I mean, it's not gaining game end of the day. If your heart in there, you know, the thinking that this is injustice and I want to fight, that's where I understand. And that's what I am trying to do.
I wonder, so what is it in your life, in your personal experience, that gave you this motivation to fight for what is unjust? What is it that drives you? Where did that energy come from? Were there certain events in your life that shaped the way that you think, your philosophy around activism, your philosophy around being in communities and being, you know, locally connected?
I think it's very, very early age, because as I said, my parents, you know, the people coming all over different part of the, you know, the village, you know, our family members, or I don't know who they are, and staying in our house until they get their life sorted out, and how my parents treating people, you know, in our house, we have, you know, the visitor justice minister coming to visit my mom, and then also the caretaker of the apartment. But they treat everybody the same, because as a human being, doesn't matter what their titles are. So we are all human. So that's the house I grow up. And I don't know, but I became alive when I am fighting for injustice, for the things is not right. And then, you know, it just kind of gives me the whole energy. And I, you know, that is my life. And I realize that, you know, I am a fighter, but I'm a fighter on the street, not just, you know, the kind of academic level, because I believe that everything is going to be done on street. And I'm a street fighter. And I love being on the street. I love being talking to real people with their real problem. And accordingly, because you come across different people and you talk to people accordingly, a different way. And that's why you draw more people towards to you, because, you know, the making different way of reaching people. I don't know, but everyone sees and talks to me, they get my passion, my, you know, it's just, you know, the boil in me. I don't know, but I am a fighter. That's what I am.
How does activism create change? Because I guess, I think also your philosophy of activism, it's like what you said, you know, it's a lifestyle, but from what we see of activism on media, on the news, it's very much linked to demonstrations or, you know, protests. And I guess my question, how does activism create change? It's one, addressing that sort of, I guess, if we can say mainstream activism, if that really creates change, versus also your philosophy of activism. And what is it, what are the points of interaction or connection or moments or the way of being that actually changes something?
I mean, the big changes or social changes, it doesn't come only just having a demo, shouting, and, you know, the walking on the street. It comes within the community, how much you work within the community, how you reach your community, how you present yourself. Is it, you know, the kind of, because for me, I only think that I can take the fact, what is happening, and give it to people. In the community, my job, or, you know, to find out more information and pass on to community members. So people, they can make their own mind accordingly. I don't need to tell them what they need to do, you know. This is where kind of some of activists and us are dividing. Those people, if, you know, what we do, if they don't speak the language, we find the person who speaks their language, and we go back and explain them what is happening and why we are against it, this social cleansing, and giving all the information people, and not patronizing, because I am one of them. So, you know, because this is, at the same time, is a class war, you know, is a class issue. Instead of, because we know some activists, unfortunately, you know, just going to demo shouting and coming back to your house and carrying your life as it is, doesn't make you something, because it is the lifestyle. It's not just to go and do shout, march and then do your duty and come home to thinking that, oh, I've done my duty, it's fine. No. In here, I mean, I'm always, you know, the listening late night, if any shout or anything, I need to know what is happening because it's one of my neighbors around here who could be. So I need to be aware of it to be able to help, to support them. That is everything includes activism because it's, you know, life itself. Buying, you know, the, if the neighbor can't go to shopping, you know, some neighbors have small kids, doing their shopping, looking after the children. Everything is involved with the community, not just, you know, the few things you can do and live. That's how I look at it. And in that sense, and I don't like to be, that's the reason called activist, because people see activism in a, including me, in a negative way, which I'm not that one.
So in terms of issues like gentrification, for example, so you, when you have the information and you pass it on to your community, what is the action that they take on their side?
Community, they incredibly support it. They all know what is going on and they all against it. But when it comes to point, it's because the council, it doesn't do any repair maintenance and some people getting fed up to living is, you know, the dirty, not getting repair done, the heating is breaking down. But other than that, everyone is aware of it, the issue. I mean, years and years, day and night, we walk around door to door and explain them, giving them our leaflets and telling them why and why this is happening and how we can resist it, which we managed to postpone 20 years this campaign because it could have been early, they could have knocked down the whole estate. But because of our campaign, because of the resistance, not just us, maybe we've been the scene on the, you know, the face of the campaign, but the community is behind us. That's why we won the campaign. That's why they supported us, because they know I am and they are, we are one of them. We are fighting for our homes too, not just, you know, the kind of, oh, I'm coming to support your housing issue. No, we all are in the same situation and fighting together. Some of us taking a bit step further, some of us, you know, because most people are minority ethnic people. So it stops those people to come forward. They don't want to kind of trouble with authorities. And some of them doesn't speak language properly and easy to, by council, to deceive those people. Because we did come across some people are still thinking, oh, after council is going to give the nice house for here. They don't know. So it's up to us to inform what is going to happen. So it's, you know, whatever the decision they can take, I can't make any more than, you know, but they need to know the information. So what is, we are doing it.
And how did the resistance take place? So how like, I'm just trying to make sense of the situation. Did people have to sign something, or how did they show their support?
Is, I mean, we did lots of petitioning, yes, and we had stall in the market, and then people, I mean, you know, just coming to us and petitioning, and we were door knocking, and everyone is you know, to sign in our petition to saying that, yes, we want to stay with council and we want council to do refurbishment. And we were having lots of meetings in community center with, you know, the distributing leaflet, the calling everybody to come meeting and then, you know, to discuss the issue. And we were marching within the estate and we were taking deputation in council meetings to raising that our voices that cannot carry on. And 2015, the occupation took place where they emptied the first phase. So 30th of January, so one small block, which is everything, you know, when they emptied the block, they come and knock down everything, you know, to make it inhabitable. You know, the toilet, bathroom, windows, they smash everything. So we that occupation squad kind of, you know, the gives our campaign a boost, you know, after 15 years. And that was 2 months we occupied. We occupied one block, then we've been evicted, and eviction was quite heavy, you know, the night time, and they've been, you know, kind of trying to open the place, the police, and then the people are resisting and shouting and everything. But we were just, you know, at the same time, we moved already to the next building, but they didn't know. And then from there, we moved another empty building. So 2 months, and what council did, they put the, you know, the whole the first phase, the around, you know, the first they hired security guards with the dogs 24/7. They've been waiting in that area to just watch us, what we're gonna do. But during that time, we did lots of barbecue with the community, you know, the having the bungee jumping stuff with the kids and bubbling things, some of our friends, and just calling the neighbors, just, you know, to come with your kids. And we had food and things like that. And they came, and even some people say, no, I leave my kids here and I'll come back, because we were, say, face painting and just, you know, the community can see us that, you know, we are not so different than them, you know. And it's we are still working on it. Of course, we get evicted, but everyone knows who we are in the area, what we do. Even the MPs, when he sees me, he knew I'm gonna shout immediately. He tried, you know, to change his way, but I shout. So I shout and I swear, because I came to point, there is no reason to make those people understand, because they made the decision long before. So no matter you are trying to reason why it is wrong and it shouldn't happen, they don't listen, but the, just the sake of it, they give you to talk, to saying that, see, we give them a voice, but no. So after that point, something clicked me and I said, no, I'm not gonna try to explain to things. I'm gonna shout, I'm gonna swear at them, because they all are slickers and they need to know who they are. And I am shouting at them regardless. And, you know, I get kicked out most of the meetings, but I shout from outside. So it doesn't stop me what I wanted to say. I don't care who they are. I just say it.
You know, so I find that this, the nature of this work, fighting for social justice, it takes up a lot of energy. I think in there, because there is a lot of anger within of how unjust the system is, and how do you manage that? Because it's really easy to burn yourself out.
I think it's the people around me. You know, it gives me kind of to keep going, and how wonderful people around me. And how I, the first time in my life, and I felt I belonged to certain part of people. And thanks to Andrea on that, because while I was doing things with her, and I realized that, you know, and even I told her that I belong to certain people in here, and I am telling that I am here. Open up space, and I want you to hear my voice. I don't care if my English is not enough or anything, but I've got things to say, and you have to listen. Nothing else. Those people's love, respect, and support towards me is, you know, I can go day and night. The energy I get, it's non-stop, but only it's political side of it.
Do you have certain self-care techniques or certain things that you do with your community to release or to express or to heal?
The healing, I have quite close friends, which, you know, sometimes you do share things and you kind of talk what is going on and what we're going to do from now on. Because especially now, things are getting a bit, you know, unknown and nobody knows what is gonna happen and how we gonna act. But other than that, my neighbors, incredibly smiley, wonderful people, you know, because my door is most of the time half open for my cats to go to corridor. So everyone passes by, say hi, and then, you know, and with my neighbors and the how secure I feel in this 200 something flat block, you know, people say, oh, it's, you know, all those drugs, everything goes on here, you know, this kind of things they put on the council housing, you know, the drug goes on. No, it's very family oriented. Even if that, those kind of things happens, they need to look at it. Why this is happening? You know, do you provide enough places for those youth people to go engage? Because this is, you know, we've been asking. We had few things and everything has been gone, apart from the kids hanging out in the community. They need to provide, you know, for the children, for the young people to go and to be able to do something to take out their energy. And my friends is very, very, I mean, incredibly supportive and understanding and wonderful people. I am the luckiest person to have that kind of friends around me. And those gives me, you know, we'll do it. Nothing can stop us.
So it's really the importance of support networks.
Support network, feeling belong to, feeling not outsider. and also, you know, to be nice to people. Mm. Just smile. I always smile, even in the bus, on the street, if I see woman with traditional dress, and I say, oh, you look so nice, so colorful. And, you know, it just, to, and, you know, do they smile or the saying thank you, it's make me feel how nice, woman to woman, human to human, just small things. We don't need to know each other. And I do some translation for the Kurdish people. And I gave my phone number to all of them, which is, you know, the accordingly, no, no, you can't. But they don't know system. They don't know anything about it. When they need to find something, who they gonna call? Of course they gonna call me. And I it doesn't bother me to tell them, help them, fill their form, or make a phone call on behalf of them. So in the community, in this, you know, they all love me and I am their big sister, even if they are older than me, but I kind of, you know, their big sister, living here a long time, knowing the system, knowing the language. So of course I'm gonna be helping them. I'm not gonna take into consideration, you know, this is the work is, you know, do you have to protect yourself? You can't give your, no, those are all bullshit. You know, those are my own people. I know what they suffer, what they've been gone through. Even a tiny bit help or support I can give, I'll be very happy to do so. Day or night, it doesn't matter.
You know, all the things that you pointed out, it's, for me, it's really not, it's not just about activism. It's something that's much more basic than that. It's the basis, the foundation of our needs as humans for connection, for community, for belonging, for, and this, like this expansion of your heart, to have an open heart, to embrace people who are strangers, to become like family. And it's that sort of relationship and that sort of bond in society and within communities that will make us feel full. And we have developed into societies and big cities in which this has become so foreign.
Yes.
This is something that we need.
Absolutely. You know, it is so natural. It should have been. But now how we talk about it is something, you know, somewhere, no, it should be like this to everybody. But unfortunately, it doesn't work that way, you know. You need to see that, you know, in those kind of small differences, or even when they use the language, how they use the language. Because I've been involved with the different campaign groups, and one of the campaign groups I involved with the clinical psychologists and, you know, as a campaigner. And one of them said it, oh yes, I have my house, I have, but I want to help you. And I said, excuse me, you know, the first, we need to know how to use the language. We don't need a help. We, you know, we are working in solidarity, supporting each other. Because in the, you know, she's putting herself somewhere there, and we are here, and oh, how pity on you. Okay, we'll help you. No, that is not the case. So, you know, the certain people should be told off, like those yuppie people, you know, or the one of the panel I've been to go. In the film, I can't remember what film, it's relating to housing. And in Hackney, the real cinema.
Estate of Reverie?
Yes, years ago. So many people are yuppie. So I had to say something to those people. So what I said, you know, yes, you know, this gentrification, it's taking place. And those yuppie people, you know, they are nature lover, they are animal lover, they are this and that, but they just kick us our homes, to take our homes, then, you know, that they are okay. So no, they are, it's not okay for me. So they need to realize what is happening because of their, you know. So after the panel, you know, they were, you know, some of them saying, oh, she is referring to us. Yes, I was, because I am angry. I am angry that, you know, they manipulate not showing the real face. Yes, you may have those things, but you are the one, the cause of our homes, taking our from us for you. So where are you?
So what does solidarity mean?
Solidarity means that, to me, in every way, unconditional support to your comrade, your friends, the people. That's the solidarity. No condition.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but there is also, what I'm hearing, a sense of horizontality.
Mm-hmm.
So that it is not one above the other. There aren't hierarchies. It's really you and me, we as equals coming together in solidarity to work towards a common cause.
The common cause, I guess, you know, the how we are interpreting world and how we want world to be. So those are the common sense with the people I am in solidarity. I'm not saying, yes, you know, we are all the same, but, you know, the people like me, or even if it's not the, you know, exactly feeling the same, but the people against this system, people against gentrification, I always have a solidarity, but that means it's a different way solidarity, because some of the groups that, you know, I don't involve, but sometimes if certain things they do, we do support, because we believe that, you know, that it has to be supported for every group. Yes, in the solidarity of way, we do support. But in the other way of solidarity, it's more connected, more grieved, which is the exactly how we feel, how we think the same way, which is, I mean, I am an anarchist and I love the anarchist people. I mean, not all of them, but the people around me.
But what happens if within the same group that fights against a common cause, like racism, for example, within that same group, you have differing opinions?
We can have a different opinions. That is fine, because, I mean, we can't be, you know, all the same way thinking. That is against everything. You know, but is the common cause, main cause, in that small details, of course we have differences or one thing's in the same and another issue different approach doesn't differ, you know, make any differences. End of the day, how we interact with each other, how we talk our differences. And, you know, those are the places that, you know, you can say, yes, of course, I think different on this issue, but in this year, we are perfectly fine. Doesn't make any differences in that sense.
So the current landscape and situation in the world And I guess we live in a very divisive world where there is a lot of polarity in the media, in debates. And for young people who are navigating, trying to understand the world or trying to work towards social justice, what would you advise them?
You know, in Turkey, I mean, I was very hopeful, the young people of, you know, this young generation. But if you know Gezi protest in Turkey, it's been, you know, the kind of, it when the, you know, the Middle East, all those, you know, the people start fighting against the system. Around that time, in Turkey, something happened, and every part of the, you know, the fascist, the Islamist, the anarchist, socialist, the whole community came together against the government, and it was kind of brilliant. In, you know, the, in Taksim Square, they've been having tents, living there, and the people going. It was incredible. And at that time, I realized how wrong I was for the young generation, because I was thinking they are not aware of anything, you know, because, you know, everything is gone, and this new generation is just growing up, not knowing. But that shows me how wrong I was. Yes, especially young generation now, they are quite involved, maybe in a different way than us, because, you know, they are the technology children, in the, you know, the via technology. But the main things, you know, they are aware of the environment, they are aware of the many things. And I'm really hoping that, you know, with together, but they are the lead of, because the, you know, the young generation, and we can all go with them to be able to change something, because where we came at now, it can go both sides. Is the division, the inequality, and everything is, and also authoritarian, you know, the many countries now is being, the system is very, you know, the authority based, and, you know, you can't have any say. And at the same time, many places people are on street, so it is just going this way. And economy is struggling. The more economy struggles, the more we can gain if we reach more people to say that, yes, because this economy is not for us. Let's break everything, you know. Let's get it just down, everything, and then create a new. But that doesn't. You can just start doing it from your small community, you know. You, even if I can't change the system, but I can change in my community. And, you know, bits and everywhere is just small bubbles pops up, and it comes together. That's how I see. You can't do big things, but you can always do small, from the ground, from the people, you know, the talking to them and getting things together and getting the young people, because they are unhappy too, everybody. So, you know, but everything, it has to be ground and on street. You can't just go and talk. We have to fight. And I am a fighter, and I will fight until I die. I know that.
I guess there is a lot of frustration, because being in this system, I don't think it's a matter of us not being aware enough. It's about the next step, you know. There is a lot of conversations be it online or even sometimes offline as well. And there are so many groups that are raising awareness, but when does that awareness become action? And when does it become actually an actual movement in which people are actively, you know, thinking about relations, thinking about changing their lifestyle or working on certain changes? And I think I feel like activism, the way that we know it through media, it has to go beyond just joining demonstrations every weekend.
Of course.
And it's got to be more connected, more rooted. And it's what you rightly pointed out. It's about communities, right? It's about your local connections. And I feel like we are a generation in which there is a divide and there is a disconnection. We don't know how to commit. We don't know how to build these like connections or these communities or where to situate ourselves. I don't know if it's globalization, that sort of mobility that we have, that we're not really based anywhere, or the way that the sort of digital culture is with...
And the system is, yes, is digital culture, and also the system is making us become more individual and not to connect with other human beings. So everything is on your, you know, the finger tips, and then you can get, but the human to human connection is very important. Nothing can, you know, to take place human to human. And you know, there is not a thing as activism is a lifestyle. You live your life as it is, and that shows people how you live your life. Because if you say something, and if you want people to trust you, believe you, you have to show them. How am I gonna show them? Not just words, with my life. They look at how I live my life, how I share everything in my house, how I ask my neighbor when they are moving, if you need anything, come and tea, have a cup of tea. You know, that kind of things. It is a lifestyle. It's not just something you can put on your as a coat, do your things and take off and hang it. That is not something like that, my understanding of activism. So more connection, people. I talk to people on the street. If something happens, you know, interests me, why not? We are all human and we have to communicate, which is the system is constantly breaking our communication in every way, every angle. So what we need to do, we need to come together more to have, you know, that's what we do. We come together, eat together, talk together, and do things together, go park, being togetherness, being sharing everything, your idea, your house, your food, your money. So you know that this is kind of the base on activism, if we say activism. Other than that, it doesn't work.
It's really also about breaking away from individualism, which is this sort of like mainstream narrative and way of being that is promoted in the past years, and even very much now. I guess really thank you for pointing out this, because I feel like intellectually my generation can process a lot of things, but when it comes to actually building relationships, perhaps we are really bad at it because everything's fast.
Yes.
And then I meet a friend, if I can't make it, I will cancel 5 minutes before. And relationship building takes time, and it takes effort, and it takes commitment. That's one-to-one relationship, but that's also relationship in a community with a wider network. And a lot of times I feel like it's just so difficult to have that commitment from people, because there are so many things that's happening around, that there's this event there and then there's another engagement there, and people could just not show up. And showing up is so important because that presence is important. That presence is needed for that bond to form.
But I know. I mean, it's the system is how, because it's been set up to force people to stuck in their own place with their, you know, the digital or whatever they have. And then they communicate with this, but the human to human, because, you know, the human to human, that's why we talk and we raise the issues. The otherwise is because you go for a certain limited time for certain things and you do this and that's it. But just coming together, eating, drinking, just chatting, and then something comes up from there. Oh, let's do this. You know, you can create things. You can say, you know, I want a 50 meters banner so I can put on my window so they can see. So my friends, they did it. Even, you know, they had two different slogans. And they call me to ask me which one I want. And I said, because both of them were good. And I said, choose one of it, make a, you know, the kind of who wants which one is. They said, no, we don't vote. You know, I said, you choose because it's your one thing. You're gonna be, you know, we're gonna hang from your window. So you're gonna choose it. Yes, of course, because I want it here. So I said, okay, choose this one and write it, big letters. And soon, hopefully, we're going to hang it out.
So I'm going to end off with this question. If there is one thing that you can advise someone to do that can create change in this world, what would it be?
I think it opened the people to listen and without any judgmental, you know, don't judge, just listen to people and be hopeful and have some fighting spirit in you. That's all I can say.
Do you have any techniques in non-judgmental listening, because that's actually quite difficult to do?
Such a long time, you know, the certain words, and I am trying not to use, you know, and also the telling people if they use, it shouldn't be used. But other than that, you know, just being open, genuine to the person when you are talking. When you are genuine and from your heart, they will get it. Mm. You know, you are not just trying to. They really do get you. How you are trying to do things that, you know, you really so, genuinely explaining. And not asking to do anything, because it is up to them to make their own choices. That's the way you empower your community. We only pass the information, but they are the one who makes the decision.
Thank you. Thank you very much for your time and for sharing your incredible stories.
Anytime, sweetheart. I hope I can be helpful. If anytime I'm here, just say to hi, even. Yeah?
Yeah. Hey, everyone. Thank you for listening. Special thanks to Andrea for the music. If you liked what you heard, be sure to subscribe. We're on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Google Play. Catch you next episode.